Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pen and Heel podcast. I'm your host, Javeria Fatmazedi, and the founder of Pen and Heel. As an expressive writing life coach, I specialize in guiding highly sensitive women along their journey of self-discovery and personal growth. If you know me in real life, you will know that I'm always scribbling, writing, finding an excuse to fill up one notebook or another. So when I heard about this new thing called the Muslim Writer Salon, I was very intrigued and I signed up for their membership. In fact, I've been enjoying the membership so much that I'm seriously considering upgrading to the next level. And so I'm very excited today to welcome one of the co-founders of the Muslim Writer Salon, Nafisa Cabrera Esteves. Nafisa, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much,
Alaikum salam.
Taveria. I want to say first that congratulations because we've hit a year in the Muslim Writer Salon and you were part of our first salon. And so I was really happy to see the list of who registered for that first salon, which was an online meeting about who is a writer. And we had that discussion and you were on it and two other members were on it. And it's just so beautiful to be here on your podcast now, a year later.
Yeah. And it's been such an amazing journey to see how the Muslim Writer Salon has progressed and how different things are being added on, and it keeps evolving. So I'm really excited to be a part of it. I think you're doing an amazing job, you and Medina.
Oh, mashallah. Thank you so much. It's really like a blessing to do this work. And I think one of the things that when we first started the Muslim Writer Salon is that because I have a co-founder, it's really it's helpful to have that accountability. But one of the things that we always said is just like we're doing this for Allah. We're doing this to be of service. So everything that we do, we always have to check ourselves to make sure that we're still of service is and as we grow, that it's for Allah. And alhamdulillah, we've been blessed this year.
Alhamdulillah. So, Nafisa, along with being, one of the co-founders of Muslim Writer Salon, you are also a book coach.
Yes.
And that's really interesting. Would you tell us about that? Tell us how you became a book coach.
Sure. So my love has always been reading and writing, and I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And I went to all my schooling there, and I went to college in Massachusetts. I ended up always going to predominantly white institutions, which then had predominantly white texts of writers in, and I was really into creative writing at that time. So I got one of my teachers in undergrad to change his curriculum and add more people of color. And then the same thing with grad school. And one of the things that I found in my own studies is just that the kind of support that is needed to write a book is not available in an MFA program. It's not because it goes deeper than just learning the craft. It goes deeper than just spitting out, words every day. To be a writer, there's a level of you really have to believe in yourself, and there's going to be so many moments that you're not, that you're not going to. And so I've supported my friends and writing groups, and I've led writing workshops for many, many years. And then I decided to become a bookseller. And through becoming a bookseller, I had a different relationship with writers. And it was really beautiful to be at events. I would do a lot of because I specialize in Spanish and bilingual books in the US and for
Okay.
children. And I would go to family events and have these books. And then I would get people that would be tell me their stories that they want to write. Like they wanted to write. And so what they needed was support. They needed like someone to help guide them, to be there for them. And then I found out after moving to Portugal, I've been in Portugal for 2 years and I've had to like pivot my business because I couldn't really run a bookstore at that time. But I loved working with writers. And so like I would always get independent writers come to me. And for a lot of books that have been award-winning, I was the first, Booklandia was the first bookstore that carried their book. So I'm like, oh, I think I have an eye for this, like I could tell. And so alhamdulillah, I found book coaching. Like I found that as a career path, which was like really interesting because I know about editors. I've edited before, and you could freelance for many different things, but book coaching, that's interesting. It's a little bit different than being a writing facilitator, leading writing workshops. So I'm in the process of the certification of it because it's self-paced. Self-paced is not the best for me. I like the accountability and so, but I've been learning a lot. I'm glad I actually held off a little bit because they've expanded their programming. So I'm learning a lot more than I did before. But what I've learned anyway, I was able to implement with the writers that I work with. So basically, how I coach is a lot how I homeschooled my kids. I did not think of myself as a teacher of my kids. I thought of myself as a coach, as a guide. I'm gonna, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna teach them stuff. I'm gonna be there for them. But it was like more like, helping them with their ideas of what they wanted to learn and also of the things that they had to learn, and guide them through that process. So I'm really glad. I love talking about this. So thank you. So yeah, that's how I decided. I was like, okay, I still want to work with writers. I still believe that there's a lack of writers, as Muslim writers, other BIPOC writers, in the publishing industry. I know that. I've seen the statistics. I know agents, I know publishers and editors. So I know there needs to be like more writers need to feel like their voices need to be heard and that they have support in this. Because if you're seeing that only like 10% of the books are written by Black authors in the US, you're going to be like, well, that's going to be really difficult for me to be part of that 10%. So it's just like giving people the support. And I also feel that we all have unique voices, and especially for Muslims, we come from all different backgrounds. My story and your story are totally different, but we do have some commonalities, but we would not know unless we read each other's stories. Right. So there's much more that we, within our community that we have to learn. And I think writers are the best way, or what are the best ways to bring out those voices and also to have people understand and bring unity as well.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, Lisa. You've touched on so many different things. What you're saying about bringing voices together to enhance the unity amongst Muslims, that's very much on point. And I didn't realize that you homeschooled your children as well. You might have mentioned it before, but I didn't remember. So I might need to get you onto my homeschooling, my home education channel as well,
Oh,
just
great.
to have a chat about that. So it's so interesting how you said that there wasn't support. You didn't see the support for writers who wanted to write a book. So it sounds like you sort of merged the roles of a life coach and a writing facilitator, because you said it's not just about the craft, which is really interesting. Because when I hear book coach, I think, oh, okay, so you help a person write a book, you help with the writing, right? So it's a writing facilitator that I'm thinking about. But now that you've said it, I'm like, okay, so there's a lot more to this. So I mean, I would love to know more about that. Can you tell me who are the writers that come to you generally, and what would you say are the major challenges that they face?
Yes, so most of the writers that come to me already have full-time jobs, right? Most writers have to have full-time jobs. There's not that many of us that could have the luxurious life of just writing. So they have full-time jobs, but they either write for their work, either academic or for their business, they write, and they want to write for themselves. And they also want to write for their community. So most of the writers that I work with are very community minded, and their story goes beyond themselves, and it's to share, it's to help. And so I work with writers who are social impact leaders that are in that space. And so I help them bring out like the personal narrative when writing about certain issues. So the issues that usually we work on things that we're connected to. Like if we love our work, it's because we have some type of connection to it. And
Absolutely.
so, and I also work like in the Muslim Writers Salon in the top tier, we have book coaching for the members. And I love that group that I'm book coaching. Some of them are coaches or former coaches, and that who have decided, okay, I need to write my book. One of them, she's writing a book on the root words of Allah and how to use the names of Allah for your own guidance and spirituality. And so just working with her and her process, like I have like this way of working with people that's kind of like, okay, standard, but then it's really up to the person, right? Like I can't implement, I have a lot of tools in my toolbox. So I can't take out the same tools for each person. And so like one of my writers wrote a whole novel and then realized, no, I need to rewrite the whole thing.
Oh,
You
really?
know, so it's not how I wanted it to be. And the thing is, it's she just did one draft. All first drafts are not the end result of someone's book. So helping her in that process too of being like, we focused on you did it. You wrote a whole novel instead of like this isn't a masterpiece. No, it's not. It's okay because that's part of the process. So I went to a book event yesterday in Lisbon, and it was with a literary agent, and she was like talking about like for writers, like we have to think about like the process of writing and not just the end result. So yes, as a book coach, I'm gonna help you get that end result, which is, writing a book, getting it out there. If it's nonfiction, doing the book proposal, I'll help you through it, give you feedback and stuff. But it's also going through that process and, and really like acknowledging what you're going through in that process and like what's stopping you sometimes, And so one of the common things is time. So I've given a chart of all the hours in a week, and people have to fill out what they spend time like eating, sleeping, taking the kids to school, working, and then they could see how much time they actually have. And it's a lot more than we really think it is, right?
Then you
Like,
can be realize,
yeah. So then seeing like, okay, now we have to schedule time for writing. It could only happen in that way. It can't just be like, oh, I want to write this book, and then like there has to be a schedule. It has to be something. It's difficult, I understand, especially when it's not something that you're getting paid for right away. It's like something that you're like, maybe I'll get paid for this at some point. Maybe I will reach this goal. But when you have to pay for other things, it's hard to give that time. But for writers who like they can't live without writing, this is something that I help support them with.
That's amazing. So there's again, there's so many threads. And the biggest challenge that you've identified is the time. And I thought you'd say that there isn't enough time, but funnily enough, you said actually they have more time than they realize. It's just that they've never put that into a timetable before. And having that laid out in front of them, that makes it easier to see where the writing time can be slotted in. And one thing that I can see, I was actually, one of my questions is always to the people that I interview, that how do you help people through this process, through their problems? And I can see that one of the tools in your toolbox is definitely being straightforward and honest. So I think you've said three statements by now, which are just very neutral but very honest that it's difficult and you will feel like giving up something like so you clearly you're very straightforward upfront like this is it but we can do this and I feel like that's the best approach for coaching. Are there
Yes.
any other things? Are there any particular techniques do you think that you can share with us that really help your writer sort of overcome those difficulties? So my question to you was that so clearly one of the ways that you support your coaches is through being quite straightforward and honest. Can you tell us some other ways in which you help them overcome these obstacles, like the lack of time or the perceived lack of time and the very practical sense of obviously having to pay their bills and then they
Yes.
have to do other things?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of things that come up when you're asking this question. One of them is I know like most of your client you work with highly sensitive people, right? And I have ADHD, and I feel like a lot of the symptoms, let's say, are very similar, right? So like when I read stuff about highly sensitive people, like I'm just like, oh, I kind of fit into that category. And I also think that I also attract people that are similar in that, either being neurodivergent and stuff. So one of the things, like we have this goal, right? We have this writing goal of book coaching, but we also have life. Right. And then we also have like we can't do like I know for me, I have a routine every morning, but sometimes it doesn't work because I'm not feeling well. Right. Like there's, and sometimes so I even though I have those 168 hours and charted out, you also have to give yourself a buffer. You have to know how you are yourself, right? So if you need it on your writing day. If you need just to write, or have a 2 hour buffer in between, or a half hour buffer in between, you have to schedule that in too. So it's also being realistic of who we are as a person, and how we relate to things. If, especially like as parents too, it's not just our lives, it's our kids' lives. Our kid has a cold, we have to take care of our child, that is going to go away. Right. So then I have this plan, this writing plan, and then it has like, what are things that you could do on days and what are things you could do on off days? So then, so you don't completely lose it, right? So you don't feel discouraged. Maybe on off days is rereading what you read, and just rereading it. Maybe it's just editing, moving things around. Maybe it's doing that research that you wanted to do for this particular article, and that you could just read, or maybe you just need rest. Maybe, on your off days, you also implement rest as part of the tasks that you do, right? So that's one thing that I help support writers in. And now I can't remember the rest of the
That's all right, but you've answered it so wonderfully. Just I was just asking about
question.
how you support them, just some of the ways. So basically, you're talking about being proactively planning for the day for your off days, and I think that comes with your neurodivergence because you are neurodivergent. And you know that you are going to have some off days. So I think that you're able to accommodate people who are neurodivergent and even those who aren't, I'm sure it works for them as well. And some professionals do consider high sensitivity as a neurodivergence, but then there are professionals who don't recognize high sensitivity as a diagnosis altogether. So that's still up in the air, but it definitely these things really work. And it's really interesting that you're talking about having off days, and you spoke about self-awareness and sort of being prepared very realistically for what you can do and what you can't do. Because I had that this morning. So I have my routine. I have to wake up at 4 a.m. and I've got certain things to do. And I give myself buffers and I'm gentle with myself because it's early. 4 a.m. is pretty early. Giving yourself time to sort of wake up and land into the day. And so I do not hit the ground running. Having done all of that, I still felt that I couldn't get up. And for example, how so we had to move our podcast about half an hour We had to push it half an hour forward, which was great for me because I needed to get dinner started. But I just wasn't feeling it. And as a highly sensitive person, that feeling is not just, oh, I don't really feel like doing it. It's so much more physical and so much more than that. It is physically very difficult for me to push that aside because it is physically tiring to feel that way. And if I push through then, I'm going to pay for it later on with a lack of energy. And so I need to think, well, I have limited energy and I know that I need to do, I have a few recordings to do today. So what do I do? And so when you're giving yourself that grace, let's say, a lot of feelings of shame come up, and that happened to me. And I was like, oh, I do feel really ashamed, but it's just dinner and the negative self-talk, right? And so thankfully, I know how to deal with that. And so I thought, you know what, it's all right. I can take, I have enough. And then I did actually what you have said about the time. I actually wrote down in my diary that these are the main things in my day. This is, I can slot in this hour for cooking, and I don't need to worry about that. So that really works, being proactive with your off days, expecting them and having a plan in place for when that happens. I don't need to give up on my dreams altogether.
Yes.
There's always something I can do. That's lovely. I just that was really, I just thought I'd share
Yeah,
if
no. Yeah, it's
my
important. It's
day.
important to
Yeah.
share those things because we experience them and we don't talk about them enough. And we live in
Yes.
a culture that wants us to produce all the time that if we're not doing it, then we're not living,
Yes, exactly.
So, but it's, we're all people, we're all human beings, and Allah gave us so many different things, and so we need to like honor that.
Exactly. We do need to honor that. And I was having a conversation in my DMs recently where somebody said, oh, but you do so much, because that's what it looks like on social media, right? I'm only showing what I do. I'm not showing what I don't do. I'm not posting like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take a little break. I'm not doing the cooking right now as I plan to do. Going to watch a bit of Netflix and have a coffee, So actually, maybe I should share that as well now that I think about that. So, I have this DM and I get a few of these from people who say, but you do so much, don't you rest, don't you need to rest? And I said, yeah, of course I do. I do rest and I've got my schedule in place. It looks like a lot because that's all you see on social media, but I've got my boundaries in place. And when I have my downtime, I have learned to put my phone away and just be relaxed and sort of just do my thing and don't post about it, don't do anything, stay away from the phone. So that, I think that's a learning experience, and that comes with having a coach who understands and who can teach you.
Yeah, definitely. And and making it intentional.
Making it intentional, exactly.
And also knowing, okay, when I don't have my phone, how does this feel?
Yeah.
And understanding, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I just went to have breakfast before, meeting with you, and I was at this cafe and I brought my book and I just read the book and I was like, oh, I miss this. I
Yeah.
missed sitting down and eating and reading a book, and then afterwards being able to read more. Like, I'm not
Yeah.
rushed, like it
Yeah,
was just like
exactly.
really, really nice. And
Yes.
so I'm like, okay, I have to implement that more into my life. I have to
Yeah.
do it on a daily basis. So like, yeah, in the morning, I'm trying not to look at my phone at all, to just like get ready, get the kids ready, and then it goes smoother,
It goes smoother, yeah.
So it's just like knowing those things, like what works, what doesn't work, and just yeah, have giving yourself that evaluation, like, and being in the moment. And it takes time, we're not, I know for me, I didn't really understand my neurodivergence or any of the other things that came up with it because I wasn't in
Yes.
touch with my body,
Right.
and then I also thought that everyone experienced it. So just because I was experiencing it, I thought like everybody else was, but not
That
everybody
wasn't the
else
case.
was experiencing it.
Yes,
So
exactly.
as a coach too, like one of the things that I try to remind the people that I work with, that you're doing everything right on time,
Yeah.
because this is Allah's time.
Yeah.
Like, and just always remembering that, like, because like we we create a lot of negativity of ourselves, thinking that we haven't reached certain goals or we're not doing things the right way and stuff. And so it's all on Allah's time. And then we have to see, like, okay, what is this teaching me? Like, I don't believe in mistakes, yes, there is that word, but I don't, I'm not going to be down on myself for it anymore. Anymore. I see it as a, I'm learning something from it. Okay, like this came up because I need to learn from it and see it in another perspective or see what I need to do that's better, And so I also remind the people that I work with of those things, and just just keep on trying and keep on making dua, like Allah gives us these things because that's what, if we're writing, that's what we're supposed to do. Like, do it, and yes, be it's okay to be afraid, but voice it. And also, when you're praying, speak to Allah about it, but it's just like it's really, really helpful, and it's just having that connection with Allah really helps in our everyday life, but I
Absolutely.
also in the writing life as well.
100%. So you're like this spiritual life coach who helps write books. That it really does sound like the perfect package
It
for
does.
just a
Like,
writer.
and I guess I've kind of evolved into that. It's not like what I was like thinking. I thought I was going to be very practical, but I'm not very practical. So, like I'm not very pragmatic. And so I like working with people. I see that this is something that I'm doing of service, and I really believe in the power of voice and in the power of the writing. So it's interesting. I'm redoing my website and I'm thinking about, okay, who do I want to work with? Like really listing that out. And it's like, yeah, I do want to work with people that believe in God, that have a relationship with God. I'm okay with any faith. Alhamdulillah, I grew up in New York City that was very diverse, with faiths. So, but just being able to talk about it for me, because I've been in so many environments that I can't talk about my relationship with God, because it's just like I'm seen as stupid or, like all these things. I'm like, I have a master's degree. I don't think I've gotten this
Absolutely.
far, alhamdulillah. So we need to create those spaces so and understanding of ourselves. So when we are in those environments, we're very comfortable with ourselves and we're comfortable with who we are. And so as writers too, like you have to have that comfortability with yourself and you have to have that deep connection because you're putting yourself out there. And so, whether it's just like, a circle of friends reading it, or it's going to be, a bestseller, a worldwide bestseller with lots of translations. Someone's going to read it, and so you're putting yourself out there. So you have to have like that level of comfortability. And as a coach, I help them get there as well because I believe in them. I work with people that I believe in. I work with people that, I feel like Allah has given me all these people to work with because we're a good match. And then if we're not a good match, there's someone else that would be a good match to them. But I'm able
Absolutely.
to express that, and help them with that.
So, and so you clearly you're very aware of your limits of your abilities, and you're not afraid to refer someone out to somewhere else if you feel like, that's what they need. And I think that's really important. It's part of being an ethical coach. So, the power of voice, I love that phrase, the power of voice. That's so true. As Muslim women and, women of color, I'll speak for myself, for example, from somebody from a Desi, we call it Desi background, Indians, Pakistanis, etc. For us to reclaim our voices, it is revolutionary. So I think, having a space for that is really important. And on a wider scale, I'm sure it's very much appreciated. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some more about your experience with neurodivergence, so your own personal experience and with clients. So you told me that you have ADHD, and that you find that a lot of the symptoms for high sensitivity do overlap, and that's true. I have read about that, and there is definitely an overlap. So I do not have ADHD, but a lot of the ADHD things are quite relatable to me, and I find that recently I've been researching, I've been looking into ADHD, and while I'm confident that I don't have it, I find that I have been employing certain approaches in my life, which are apparently used to coach people with ADHD. So that's really interesting how there seems to be a commonality within the neurodivergence. So that might be a neurotypical experience with the neurodivergent people. That's really interesting. So how does your neurodivergence show up in your life, and how do you support neurodivergent people?
Yeah, so I actually was diagnosed a little bit over 2 years ago, so 2.5 years ago. So I spent most of my life not knowing, you know, and I was diagnosed, you know, well, I wasn't diagnosed. It's just like I went to therapy. Oh, you're depressed, or you know, and they never said I had anxiety. But it was just like I felt like I had anxiety. But now I look back and I see like a lot of those symptoms and things that I had. I don't know if I would have had them if I would have known I had ADHD as a child and if I would have been in a supportive environment. You know, like I don't know how much depression I would have experienced. I don't know how much anxiety I would have experienced. So, learning that, like having that diagnosis just pretty much freed me because I look back at past journals and I was always like, why am I like this? Why do I feel this way? Like I was just like always trying to figure it out, you know, like and so and I'm 48 now, and so then I was just like, oh, it's you know, perimenopause, like it's that. And with women, you know, all those cycles in our lives, like puberty, you know, getting pregnant, postpartum, you know, perimenopause, menopause, it activates our hormones are very, very affected. And our ADHD symptoms grow, you know, that they're a lot larger. So for many women, they don't know until that happens. So it got worse for me after I had kids. You know, and also, like, I am not a domestic person, you know, and I just thought like, oh, it's because I'm, you know, like I grew up in America, and you know, I went to a different schooling than my mom, you know, like I'm thinking different things, but no, it's because it's very difficult for me, you know, like so, and having kids like really show that too, like if it was just me, I would not feed myself, you know, like I used to just eat like, oh, it's dinner time, let me have some peanuts, you know, like let me see what's around. When you have kids, you have to like feed them. So there's that. And so learning, like having the diagnosis, going to a psychiatrist, getting medication, and then learning all the things about ADHD, you know, learning all the things, and then understanding that, you know, it's not me, this isn't my personality, you know, there's not, I don't have character flaws, you know, like these are symptoms, and but these are things that I need to work on. And so to function, you know, like to function, and the way that I've been dealing with it doesn't work for my brain, you know, so it's learning what works for me. So when I do work with people who are neurodivergent, it's also like giving them that space to, you know, to be like, okay, you are not all those negative things that you've been told and that you've told yourself, you know, like and so and let's try out different things to see what works. And the thing with ADHD too is just like I could be doing something for a week and it's great, and then it's not. So then I'm just like, oh, I'm a failure. I can't do the thing. No, it's just that my brain likes novelty, so now I have to find something else. So like, let's say with the Muslim Writers Salon, it's been on for a year. I have to now create little things, little changes, add things, do changes, explore other things to make it novel for me. Because if I want this to be a long-term project, I want it to be, inshallah, my legacy and lead, have a lot of Muslim writers come out of there. I could only do that if I really enjoy it, and I get bored very easily, and that's like the thing too. I get bored very, so I have to find the novel things, and I have to give myself that. And so it's just also having that understanding, and then like with someone with ADHD, like myself, I like accountability. Like one of the reasons why we do co-writing sessions in the Muslim Writers Salon is because then you're writing with someone else. And I found that to be helpful for me. So I'm like, well, okay, let's see if it's helpful for other people, and it definitely is. So it's just, I feel like, we have like a history of not understanding everything that's going on with us. And I think, alhamdulillah, we're in this day and age that a lot is coming out. There's a lot of studies, like things that I know now weren't available like 7 years ago, So like I was first diagnosed with PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And so I would get, it was terrible. Alhamdulillah, I don't have those symptoms anymore, but it was terrible like the last week, the week right before leading up to my menstruation, to my cycle, and but there is high chances of someone who has PMDD, it also has ADHD. And
Isn't it?
so it's just like, why didn't I know that when I got diagnosed with that? Why didn't the doctor say, hey, oh, you have PMDD? Let's see if we also have ADHD. So it's just, so now I don't know if doctors are doing this now, but at least I know, and so like, so I'm able to help people, like not just in my coaching business, but in my life, or if I'm on a Facebook group or something like that. Okay, why don't you look into this too? And that's one of the things, like, I feel like if I'm going to have these things, if I'm going to have these things, inshallah, I could like work on them and create a better life. But I also want to help others through the process, because I never want anybody to experience the amount of pain that I've experienced. Like, and so everything that I do in my life is because I've like experienced some pain, and I don't want someone else to. And so, sorry.
That's okay.
And so like that's why I feel like doing this work is of service to Allah, because it's just like, yes, I need to make a living, I want things in this dunya, but like really it's like for Allah, and so, and it's to make this better for other people.
Absolutely. That's such a beautiful and positive way of looking at things that you've gone through so much and you think, well, at least I can make it better for others. And that's a beautiful way of serving others and working in the way of God.
Chilla.
Do you need a moment, or shall
No,
we?
it's good. It's good. It's really important. I'm just really thankful. I'm really thankful to be in this place. So, and I'm really thankful to be able to do this. And so, because even like 2 years ago when I started this journey, like it was foggy. It was very foggy. Like, I knew I wanted to do this. I knew the work that I've done before, like I, even though this is like a new career for me, like I have like 15 years of like working with writers in some certain capacity, but it was still very foggy. And so being able to just give myself time and learn and grace and become closer to Allah makes me be able to do this work, and inshallah, that will help the people that I work with.
Inshallah. And that'll be the legacy that you leave
Inshallah.
behind, inshallah. So we've been talking about writing, but a specific kind of writing so far. And obviously the kind of writing that I do with my clients is very different. It doesn't matter if they know the craft. It's not really about, it's entirely about the process, right? Do you utilize that type of writing in your coaching work?
Yeah, so one of the things that I ask my clients if they keep journals, because I feel like it's very important to have that personal expression, especially before writing a bigger project. And it's also like a really good way of brain dumping too, like just putting out all your ideas. So and I ask, you know, like th there are people that write personal narratives in their essays. So I think that's kind of part of it. And I don't mean necessarily I don't teach craft. I teach what works and what doesn't work. And I think I should learn how to express that a little bit better. But it's just like I'm just like I try to lead people in that way, you know, and try to go in deeper, because a lot of times when people when something's not working in writing, in like fiction writing, let's say, or nonfiction writing, it's because the writer hasn't gone deep enough into it, and it's very surface, and it's very surface because they're very surface with their feelings, with those feelings. So you have to go deeper, and doing expressive writing is a way to go deeper.
100%. That makes so much sense. So just as we bring, as we bring this episode to a close, would you if you had to give one piece of advice to our listeners, maybe writers who want to get started, but they're feeling a bit stuck, or someone who thinks maybe they can't write, but they'd love to start writing, so what one piece of general advice would you be able to give?
Well, I don't think I could give one piece of general advice. That's not me. I wish I could give one piece. One is you know, ask a lot to give you clarity, you know, and to support you in this process, and always talk to a lot, you know, like during this process. The second is believe, invest in yourself enough to take out the time to write, you know, even if you start out with 15 minutes. You know, you might want to start out with 15 minutes twice a week or a half hour, but give yourself that time. You know, and just make it automatic, and then, you know, learn, you know, like learn by reading, you know, like see what you like to read, go back to your favorite book and read it and see why, you know, it's your favorite book. What are certain things, like how did you feel on in certain ways? You're not going to write like that person, you're going to write like yourself, but you know, just putting yourself into that world. I feel like I know for myself, I have to be surrounded by writing in some sort of way for me to like really get into my writing. And so making that part of your life is really important. And own that you're a writer. You might not want to say it right away, but like I don't believe like you have to publish or write every day to do it. You know, there's times that you just write in your head. You know, like you just write in your head and then give yourself, you know, the opportunity to write on paper, you know? And so it's just like, just keep on coming back to it. Keep on coming back to it and write down what you want and just, you know, just keep on working towards it. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much, Anafisa. I'm
Thank
sure that
you.
will help out many, many people, hopefully. And I will leave your contact details in the description below the video, so that
Yes.
anyone who is looking to write a book or to join the Muslim Writer Salon, they can get in touch with you. And they can talk to you. Thank you
Yes.
very much for joining me today, Nafisa, and thank you for your time. It was
Thank
lovely
you,
speaking to you.
Zaharia. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. If you're a highly sensitive woman and you're looking for guidance to help you along the journey of achieving your dreams, then do visit my website, www.penandheal.com, or send me an email. Support@penandheal.com.